You notice the small failures first. A slow drip under a sink, a hinge that groans, a thin crack running along a wall that was clean last month. None of it feels urgent, but the pressure is there. You know what happens when you ignore small things. Water spreads into places you cannot see. Screws work loose until a door stops closing. A crack grows until it pulls paint with it. Problems wait for the moment when you are tired or busy, then they hit you with a bill that wipes out your week. This series drops you into those moments before trouble becomes expensive. You move with intent, checking leaks, tightening hardware, and repairing surfaces while the damage is still honest and manageable. You work with your hands. You watch how small changes shift the whole system. You learn that early discipline is cheaper than any rescue call. By the end, you will see the house differently. You will hear warnings before they turn into repairs you cannot ignore. Chapter 1. Stopping water damage before it starts. You start with water, because water is the fastest way for a small problem to turn into a costly one. You kneel under the kitchen sink and sweep a dry hand along the cabinet floor. You are not looking for puddles. You are looking for a faint line, a soft spot, or a cold patch. These signs tell you the leak is slow, which also means it has time to spread. You trace the supply lines up to the shutoff valves. You look for corrosion, mineral buildup, or a bead forming around the packing nut. Anything that reflects light tells you where pressure is trying to escape. You turn the valve a quarter turn to check if it even moves. A frozen valve means trouble later because you cannot stop the water in an emergency. If it moves, you tighten the packing nut with a steady quarter turn. You do not force it. You bring the wrench in at an angle that keeps your knuckles safe if it slips. When you finish, you wipe the stem clean and check again. If the bead stops forming, the packing nut was the problem. You shift toward the faucet. A slow drip at the spout wastes water, but the real cost shows up when the drip becomes steady. You shut off the valves and open the faucet to release pressure. You cover the drain so small screws cannot fall through. If the faucet has a cartridge, you pull the handle, remove the retaining clip, and lift the cartridge with pliers. You look for torn seals or mineral grit. If it uses a washer, you check the rubber surface. A washer that has grown brittle is easy to replace. You seat the new part firmly, reassemble the handle, and open the valves again. When you test it, the drip should stop as the seals take pressure. You move to the bathroom. The base of the toilet is a common leak point. You place a dry towel around the base and flush. You watch for water pulling outward from one side. A failed wax ring is outside the scope here, but a loose supply line is not. You run your fingers along the nut that connects the line to the tank. If you feel dampness, you tighten it a quarter turn. Over-tightening cracks the plastic fill valve, so you move with control. You stand at the tub. A thin shadow line along the caulk tells you where water gets behind the surface. This is how wall rot starts. You press the caulk with your fingernail. If it crumbles, it is time to replace it. You cut out the old line with a sharp blade. You hold the tube steady and push a controlled bead across the seam. You do not rush. A clean bead keeps water out and keeps mold from finding a home. When you smooth it, you keep your finger wet so it does not drag. When the bead settles, you turn to the sink. You check the trap for signs of slow moisture. You check the shutoff valves here, the same way you did in the kitchen. Slow leaks are quiet in bathrooms because the tile hides the sound. You rely on touch and smell. You look for anything that raises a red flag. Testing matters. You dry every surface you touched and run the water at full pressure for 1 minute. You watch for new beads forming. You check the trap again. You give each valve a light tap to see if moisture escapes. When you are done, you leave a paper towel under the lines for one night. If it stays dry, the repair holds. You close the chapter with the reason you started here. Water does not forgive hesitation. A slow leak turns into swelling, mold, or a ruined floor before you notice the shift. When you handle it early, you stay in control. The house stays stable. The cost stays small. Chapter 2. Fixing wear and breakdown before it spreads. You move through the house with a different mindset now. You look for parts that are not broken yet, but are heading there. These are the repairs that turn cheap if you catch them early. You start with a loose hinge, because a hinge never fails all at once. It starts with a soft click or a small shift in the door line. You open the door halfway and lift it gently by the handle. If it rises, the screws in the hinge have lost grip. You back them out and see the damage. Threads chewed, holes widened, wood worn smooth. You take toothpicks or wood fill and pack the hole tight. You cut the excess flush. When the screw goes back in, it bites into new material and sets firm. You test the door again. The lift disappears. You shift to the doorknob. A wobble tells you the set screws or mounting plate are moving under pressure. You take the knob apart with your hand on the latch so the parts do not fall. You find the stripped set screw. You replace it with one that matches the thread. You tighten until the knob sits straight and the latch moves clean. You check the strike plate. If the latch drags, you adjust the plate by loosening the screws and shifting it 1 or 2 millimeters. The door closes with a clean sound that tells you the alignment is honest again. You move to cabinets. A sagging cabinet door is not a failure of the door. It is hardware surrendering. You place a hand at the bottom corner and lift. If the sag disappears, the bracket or hinge plate lost its bite. You tighten the screws first. If they spin freely, you reset the hole the same way you did with the door hinge. You add a thin shim behind the plate to bring the door level. You open and close it 10 times. A stable door stays in line with the face frame each time. Next, you turn to windows. A sticking window is not just a nuisance. It is the first sign of moisture rising in the tracks or hardware wearing down. You lift the sash and see where it binds. You clean the track and apply silicone lubricant. You avoid oil because oil pulls dust and turns it into grit. Silicone makes the track smooth without buildup. You open and close the window 5 times. If the movement is clean, the risk is gone. You check locks as well. A lock that resists closing is a lock that will fail under pressure. You treat the moving parts with silicone. You operate it again until the motion is steady. Sliding doors and tracks require the same discipline. You clean debris from the track with a brush. You lift the door slightly and make sure the rollers are seated. You add silicone and push the door through its full range. If the motion stutters, you check for a roller that has flattened under weight. That fix is outside this chapter, so you keep your focus on lubrication and track maintenance only. You walk back to interior doors and check alignment at the strike plate. A door that hits high or low tells you something shifted. You loosen the screws and lower or raise the plate. Small adjustments make big differences. You test with a slow close. The latch should meet the plate at center without rubbing the edges. When alignment is correct, the door feels like it locks into place instead of fighting its way in. Hardware breakdown spreads faster than you expect. One loose screw turns into a crooked door. A crooked door strains the latch. A strained latch loses grip until you cannot lock the door at all. Every adjustment you made today stops that chain before it starts. You keep the house from becoming a system of minor failures, waiting for a moment to cost you money and time. You finish with a last walkthrough. You check every door you touched. You test each one with a slow open and a slow close. You listen for rubbing, dragging, or a weak latch sound. Each result tells you how solid the repair is. You move to cabinets and windows and do the same. These repairs require almost no money. You used small screws, toothpicks, filler, and a can of silicone. What you really spent was attention. You caught the problems before they could spread to the structure or break a line of hardware that would take hours to rebuild. Chapter 3, Recovering Surfaces Before They Become Expensive. You finish the work on leaks and hardware, then you face the part of the house that hides the most trouble. Surfaces, walls, floors, tile lines. They look solid until one small blemish turns into a repair that forces you to repaint or retile an entire room. You start with the walls because walls tell the truth early. You run your palm across the surface and feel for shallow dents and nail holes. These are the marks that spread when moisture or movement gets inside. You take a small amount of quick dry compound and press it into the hole with a clean putty knife. You scrape the excess so the patch sits tight. You do not leave a mound. Mounds mean sanding that wastes time. When the compound dries, you sand lightly with fine grit paper. You keep your strokes short so you do not cut outside the patch. You find a tear in the drywall paper. A small lift around the edge tells you it's fresh. This type of damage becomes bigger if you cut it open, so you do not cut anything. You press the raised fibers flat and seal the area with a thin coat of compound. You cover just enough to lock the paper down. When it dries, you add a second thin coat to bring it level with the wall. You sand again, keeping your pressure controlled. The goal is simple: smooth the surface without exposing the tear again. You shift to floors. A lifted tile is a warning. It means the bond under the tile has weakened. You press the corners with your fingertips. If it rocks, you know what to do. You remove the tile carefully so you do not break it. You clean the thin layer of old mortar from the floor with a scraper. You vacuum the dust. You place a spot bedding of thinset in the center and edges, then press the tile down until it sits even with the surrounding floor. You wipe the joints clean. When the mortar cures, the tile locks back into place. You examine grout lines next. A hairline crack in grout seems harmless, but it opens the door for water to travel under the tile. You take a grout saw or utility blade and widen the crack only enough to remove the loose material. You blow the dust out and press fresh grout into the seam. You pack it tight. You clean the surface with a damp sponge. When the grout sets, you apply sealer to protect it. Sealer is not optional. Sealer stops moisture from slipping in and eroding what you fixed. You move to paint blemishes. A scuff or chipped area pulls attention. It also pulls more paint loose if you leave the edge raw. You sand the boundary lightly until the paint feathers into the surrounding wall. You do not dig into the surface. You prime the area because primer locks color and prevents flashing. When the primer dries, you touch up the paint in a tight pattern. You do not roll a wide area because that creates two different sheens. You dab or brush just enough to blend the edge. Under light, the repair should disappear. You return to the patches from earlier. You shine a bright light across the surface. A flat light shows the truth. Any ridge or uneven blend needs one more pass of sanding. You work slowly. You check the surface again. When the area feels level and looks uniform, you move on. These small repairs stop the kind of surface issues that force full room work later. A dent becomes a divot. A divot becomes a crack. A crack runs across a wall if you ignore it long enough. You check the tile again after the thinset sets. You touch the edges and press the center. If the tile feels hollow or shifts, you redo it now instead of letting it fail later. You check the grout line for uniformity. You seal the repaired line once more to make sure coverage is complete. You step back and look at the room. At first, you saw small issues. Now you see the bigger picture. Every surface in a house carries stress, from moisture, from movement, from daily life. The repairs you made today keep the stress contained. They keep the damage from reaching the point where you need to replace sections or hire someone to tear out whole areas. Surface work takes patience. You cannot rush drying times or sanding. You cannot pretend a rough patch is good enough. A bad patch shows up under paint, under light, and under inspection. A good patch disappears. You close your tools and check your hands. They are dusty and tired, but the surfaces look solid. The house feels more stable. You know these repairs will hold because you caught them early and worked with care.